Hey, welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. And our time with Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, every Thursday on the Ticket, brought to you by our good friends at Anderson Insurance Agency in Beloit. Brian, fresh off of a comfortable win for the Jayhawks in Stillwater. That doesn't happen very often, where KU rolls into Stillwater and takes care of the Cowboys, but it happened earlier this week. And Brian, I think Coach Self seemed to be pretty happy about the nice road win, and another road win in front of the Jayhawks coming up this weekend as well.
Yeah, another road game for sure. Hopefully another road win coming up in Morgantown, absolutely. And I think, you go back to Tuesday night and 62% shooting. Wow, I mean, that's really impressive. We haven't shot that well on the road in a league game in 7 years and tied the most points they've ever scored in Stillwater. To your point, that's one of the tougher venues for Kansas. It's right up there with Lloyd Noble, actually, as one of the only couple where we're just barely above 500. Hilton Coliseum is also on that list of really tough spots historically. But yeah, to get a win like that where you didn't have to sweat it, we haven't had many of those this year. And then to see last night UCF go into Austin and beat Texas down there, it makes you feel just a teensy bit better about the loss at Central Florida. That's still going to stick out like an eyesore, and it's why right now there's a four-way tie for first place instead of Kansas being all alone, but at least they've been able to back it up, UCF that is, with another win over a team that's top 25 caliber. But yeah, for Kansas to play like that, to have all five starters in double figures, to see Johnny Furphy have a breakout game where he scored 15 points in the first half, including three threes, all of these things are wonderful signs to see. And if Furphy can continue at that same trajectory, I'm not saying 15 a night, but being able to hit multiple threes in a game, driving a ball with aggressiveness and confidence and all that, it puts Kansas as a team on a completely different trajectory. And, you know, all along, this whole preseason, offseason, leading up to now, we've been talking about Kansas as a top four team, which means you expect them to make a run at the Final Four and possibly win it all. But they haven't looked the part of a true national title contender at times in the last, 6 weeks or so. They've found a way to eke out some of these close games, but they haven't looked like a world beater a ton. Johnny Furphy solves that question of who's going to play the fifth starting position and who's going to play it well. My, oh my, does the perception of this program, this team, change significantly heading down the stretch. And so let's hope what we saw on Tuesday was a sign of things to come and not just a one-hit wonder type performance against a lower echelon Big 12 team.
Yeah, absolutely. It was impressive what Furphy was able to do. It does give you some hope and excitement. And we said all along, you and I, that Furphy has the most potential coming off the bench. He's the one that's maybe the most likely to help this team if he can come along. And we got to remember, he reclassified. He's a young kid, and it's going to take time. Timberlake had a pretty sweet dunk the other night. I didn't actually get to see that live. I was busy doing something else, and I saw the replay. I'm like, did he actually dunk it? I'm like, holy cow, he did. And that was an impressive play. And I know Timberlake is maybe – Furphy's probably maybe that first option now, and you're not certainly not giving up on Emelko Jackson, and he's got a ton of talent. And you mentioned Timberlake multiple times, but Timberlake to me is going to be that bit player where there's going to be games where you're going to need him, and hopefully he can come through. There are going to be times where you might not need him as much. He's going to just have to fit into a specialty role. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think it does, and I think that nights like the other night, it may seem like a small thing making the SportsCenter top 10, but to paint the picture for you, the guys were riding home on the bus from Stillwater, and they've got satellite TV in the back of the bus. They're all watching SportsCenter, and they're looking for that play. And the way Nick described it, the first six plays on the SportsCenter reveal, 10-9-8-7-6-5-4, they didn't look that good. I mean, they weren't that, mind-boggling impressive. And he's thinking, surely they're going to show me at some point. And then, boom, it came up number three in the top 10, and the whole bus erupted, and all the guys were back there cutting it up and smiling for him. And that's the type of stuff. It may seem like a little thing, but when you're really struggling with your confidence, you're really struggling to find your role at a bigger school, and the pressure's on, and fans are looking at your shooting percentages, and everybody's saying, man, is this guy a bust? To have that type of moment where, he made SportsCenter, all his teammates are dapping him up, making him feel like $1 million, it goes a long ways. And he was walking around a little bit taller yesterday when I saw him. So good for him. I do think that eventually the shots are going to fall from the outside. It may not be at all at the volume that we're expecting it to in terms of, you know, being a guy that comes in and averages double figures and hits two or three threes a game. Johnny may have to slide into that role. But can Nick be a guy that comes in and provides a spark, you know, in a key game that gets us one round further? I think he can. And little contributions like what we saw the other night are building blocks toward a bigger, you know, type role in a key spot later. So I was really, really happy to see that for him.
Yeah, I was too. Brian Hand, the voice of the Jayhawks, is brought to you, as always, by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky at 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. So we have played, Brian, four games, only four games of the Big 12 conference season. And there are no undefeated teams left, as Houston knocked off Texas Tech last night in Houston by 23. Standings sit like this right now: KU, Baylor, Texas Tech, K-State, all 3-1. Houston, BYU, Oklahoma, Cincinnati, Iowa State, TCU, Central Florida, 2-2. West Virginia, who KU has next, 1-3, and their win was over, at the time, number 25, Texas. And speaking of Texas, they're 1-3, and there's only one team in this league that's winless, and that's Oklahoma State, who KU just throttled down at Stillwater earlier this week. It's pretty amazing that you've played four games and there's not a single team that's undefeated. Talk about the strength of the league. Of course, certainly OU and Texas will be leaving next year, but you're going to bring in Arizona, Colorado, Arizona State. But certainly Houston is a solid program that jumped KU somehow in the polls, which is not a big deal. And then they went out and probably lost two games in a row in Big 12 play. But, you know, Coach Self talked about last week, it's a huge week. And I kind of laughed about that because I'm like, dude, in this conference, every week's going to be a big week, because you could easily have a week where you go 0-2. And I don't know, man. What is it? 12-6, 18 league games again this year. 12-6 may very well win this thing.
It could. It would be probably in a tie scenario, yeah, if that was the case. Yeah, I think the path to winning it outright is going to be 8-1 at home, 6-3 on the road. And that would obviously be a 14-win season. I think that's enough to win it outright. 13-5 would probably be a three-way tie, or maybe a two-way tie, mm-hmm, with you know, Houston, and who knows about Baylor. I think that Texas Tech is so well coached with Grant McCaslin this year, and they're going to take a big leap forward. I'm not sure they're there at the top, though, when the dust settles. I think they're more of a second-tier, upper echelon team. But the point is, man, this league is loaded, like you said, and when the polls came out on Monday, you had 8 top 25 teams, which is twice as many as the next highest conference, the SEC, who had 4. Now, that's going to change next week when the polls come out, because we've been beating up on each other, and it's hard to stay in those rankings when the cannibalism starts to happen, right? But I will say, if you look at remaining strength of schedule on some of those projections that KenPom and other metric systems use, all 14 Big 12 teams are in the top 16 of remaining strength of schedule, because they're all playing each other. So it's going to be a good thing to be playing this league, because you're going to really bulk up your resume in the midst of these final 7 weeks. But, yeah, we're really excited to see Kansas at the top. And, you know, to call it like it is, this is a softer pocket in our schedule right now that we really need to make hay on. And get that record up by 3 or 4 more wins before the month of February and early March crashes pretty hard in terms of the degree of difficulty. So see if you can get a cushion of a game or two. Obviously, had they been able to take care of business there in Orlando, you'd already have a 1-game lead. But you need to build that up here in the month of January, because the rigors of February are coming, and it's going to be quite challenging, no doubt.
On the road at West Virginia, Morgantown, always a difficult place for KU. Josh Eilert, Osborne native. We know Josh very well, had on the show multiple times, played pickleball against him way back when him and I were young. And he's in a tough spot, obviously, in regards to Bob Huggins, everything that happened during the offseason, and he's the interim head coach. But they did pick up a really nice win against Texas this past weekend. They did lose last night in Norman to Oklahoma. They've, you know, in certain situations, haven't had a lot of scholarship players available to play due to injury, or perhaps the NCAA hasn't cleared somebody. But what about this matchup for KU on the road at Morgantown at 3 o'clock with pregame at 2:30 this Saturday on Z96.3 The Lake?
Definitely a different team than the one that we saw for the first couple of months of the year. They've had a couple of guys get eligible now, and I think they're just now starting to become what we think they're going to be. So it's going to be a bigger challenge than I think we've realized, in watching them from afar the last couple of months. But certainly Coach Self will have the guys dialed in and recognize that this is a very capable team based on what you just mentioned of the Texas game. Having said that, this is not a team that's on par with some of the great Huggins teams that gave Kansas fits. You know, I remember like the first 6 years they were in the league, it was a coin flip going up there if we were going to win or not. That was one of the toughest venues, as we talk about, you know, road venues for Kansas. I don't see this as that, but it's definitely the type of game that you got to keep your head down and understand that nothing comes easy on the road. And that's where maybe, I don't want to say the loss in Orlando was a good thing, but the loss in Orlando gets our guys' attention no matter who the next opponent is, especially on the road. And I think that was part of the messaging on Tuesday night in Stillwater when you faced an 0-3 league team in Oklahoma State. You know, and it'll be the same messaging here with West Virginia. They're going to get after it. They're going to play aggressive defense. They've got some athletes, and they've got some guys that, quite frankly, in stretches will match up well with Kansas. But I think over the course of a 40-minute game, especially with, this new revamped starting lineup and some guys that now are scoring a little bit more confidently, I think Kansas ultimately wears them down. They have a chance to win this thing going away by double digits. So looking forward to it. And anytime you get out of Morgantown with a win is a big deal. I remember my first 4 years at Texas Tech and my first couple of years at Kansas, I'd never called a victory up there in any sport. So it's nice to now see a football win or two up there. It's nice to go up there and get basketball to win. We just got to hope that this year's Mountaineer mascot doesn't fire the musket during live play. Remember that happened last year, about 6 seconds on the clock in the first half. Jalen Wilson had the ball in his hands, and he thought somebody got shot. So long as the mascot, shoots the gun at the right time and continues to pass out the free deer jerky in the right intervals, I think we'll be okay on Saturday.
You know, West Virginia is interesting. I had a chance to go there last year filling in to cover a women's basketball game. And West Virginia, I mean, you got to drive a little ways from flying in to get to the stadium or to the arena. And what struck me driving, riding the bus towards the arena is it looks like a big bottle cap. It just looks like a big old bottle cap. But then inside it's unique, I think, and pretty cool. And then of course you see the statue of Jerry West outside there. I don't know if people understand there's certainly some tradition and some nostalgia there with West Virginia.
Oh, for sure. Hot Rod Hundley as well. They've got some iconic players and some great history, and it's a shame things ended like it did with Coach Huggins, because honestly he deserves a statue there too.
Yes.
His alma mater. He did so much to get that program going again, and it's really disappointing, honestly, that it had to end the way it did, because that's a beloved person who, 10 years ago when they first built their practice facility, which is right next door, I'll be honest, it was newer and slightly nicer than ours, and nicer than anybody else's in the country, and you don't get that at West Virginia without a guy like Bob Huggins. So, I think he has a special legacy and will be remembered by the fans that lived through that era, but it's a shame that he won't be immortalized, at least not right now as we talk today, out front like Hundley and West are. But certainly when you walk into that place and you walk in at street level and you descend down below, kind of like you're in the pit in New Mexico, and I know the Brambles Coliseum is one of those downward descending type venues. It's special, man. You look all around, and there's history there, and fans get into it. So it's certainly because of his great teams and talent that we lost as many games as we did early in the Huggins Self Big 12 era. But the venue has something to do with it, too, and the fans always pack it out. They've always got a player to boo or jeer that the student newspaper identifies on the day before the game, and they give you like a checklist of things you can bring up to get in his head.
Nice.
And I can't remember if they call it like the villain of the day or whatever. Well, obviously Hunter Dickinson is going to be that guy on Saturday. We could do the homework for him. He pretty much puts it out there with every game he plays, begging the fans to boo him with some of his arm waving antics. So that's going to be fun to see what the student paper prints out about Hunt and how he responds to that, because that's always part of the deal when you make that trek up to West Virginia.
Yeah, I think Hunter's one of those guys that thrives off of that. So I think that's actually not going to go very well for West Virginia if they do that to Hunter Dickinson. Congratulations, by the way, National Sports Media Association, Kansas Sportscaster of the Year. Quite the honor. So congratulations on that, my friend.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to get to win that in a year where there were many worthy candidates. I told you earlier you were on my ballot as a nominee and will continue to be. It's a state chock full of great announcers and broadcasters, TV, radio, podcasting, all of the above. So super blessed and super grateful, but thank you for bringing that up. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely appreciate your support as well. And you're right, the state of Kansas is very fortunate. We have a lot of amazing and great broadcasters in our state, no question about that.
Way more than Missouri, right? Way more than Missouri.
There, it's not even comparable. That's a scientific fact. You're absolutely correct about that. off the wall question. Maybe it'll pertain to Missouri. Who knows? I will make it a two-part question, I guess. The best and the worst purchase you've made of all time. Can you think of the best purchase, like whether it's the best bang for your buck or whatever it was, and then give me the worst, the most disappointing purchase you've ever had? Could be anything.
Man. So I mean, the easy best purchase, and maybe this is a cop-out answer, but, I mean, the dogs that I've adopted and paid the $250 rescue fee, hands down the best purchase. You're looking for a product, though. I get that. I'll have to think about that. Give me a second. Worst purchase. Man, it's funny because your timing is always impeccable. My mom had bought me a certain gadget that is like a charger for your phone. It's supposed to charge three devices at once, and you can take it on the road. And with our travels, like we got in the other night at 3:45 in the morning, and you know, you're riding back on a bus for 4 hours. You need something to charge the phone with. She'd seen something on one of the national TV shows about this, and we get it, and I charge it overnight, and then I go to use it on the trek back from Stillwater, and it literally moved the needle like 2% before it just crapped out. So that was, you asked the best and worst purchases of my life. That's one that ranks high on the dud list, and we're trying to fight to get our money back right now on that. Best purchase, man, you know, I'm a big memorabilia collector.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, after his second Super Bowl win, before he got four more after that, I got a signed Tom Brady jersey with Super Bowl patch and authenticated signature and all that. I got it for a pretty low price that was maybe just a couple hundred more than what the jersey itself cost. Mm-hmm. And then obviously he goes on to become the GOAT, adds four more Super Bowls to it, had it nice and framed up with all his rookie cards around it. And that investment piece is probably more than quadrupled its value. I mean, maybe 10 times what I paid for it. So that's probably the best investment purchase. And then stay away from the faulty electronics you see on the national TV shows, because you're probably going to get burned and you'll have horrible customer service and try to get your money back.
It is pretty amazing, the timing of that question. I had no idea. Everybody out there, this is not scripted. Brian and I didn't even talk about it. I never tell Brian what the off-the-wall question is ahead of time. I don't think one time I've ever done that. And so, because I think it's cool to just be able to improvise a little bit, and sometimes I know it puts you on the spot, but your answer is always terrific. But that one is, the timing is pretty incredible there, no doubt. I'll make sure, or text me. What's that?
Yeah, she literally came over this morning to try to get it back for me to fight to send it back. I guess the moral of the story is all these internet and Instagram companies, make sure you read the feedback in the comment section, because sometimes you get a lot of bait and switch going on, I guess.
Well,
yes, your timing was perfect.
Well, you better text me what that product is and make darn sure that I don't buy it, okay? Save me the trouble and the stress.
Yeah, I didn't mention it by name because I don't want some kind of slander.
No, I hear you. I get it. Yeah, I text it. Keep it private. Yeah, I got that. Hey, West Virginia should be an interesting game. Of course, KU, tied atop the Big 12 standings, and then Cincinnati coming up at home on Monday. We'll talk about both those games and then look ahead to a big challenge. Of course, any road game is a challenge in the Big 12, and Ames is certainly one of those. And we'll chat with you again next week. Safe travels.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Always a pleasure.
Take care. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118th North Midland Boulevard. Call them at 738-5701. Once again, we got high school basketball today on Z96.3 The Lake. Pregame around 2:45. Beloit girls will take on Hayes High in first round at Orange or Black Classic at Colby. And the boys will be right after that, about 4:30, 4:45 against Ulysses. And then we'll have, and that'll be on the radio on Z96.3 Lake, KDCountry94.com, live video stream, NCKSSports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. And then we'll have Beloit girls and boys tomorrow on Z96.3 Lake. On Saturday, it'll be on KD Country 94. We'll have Beloit wrestling invitation reports with Dusty tomorrow and also on Saturday. And we'll have Thunder Ridge at Lakeside tomorrow night on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. KU West Virginia pregame at 2:30 on Z96.3 Lake on Saturday. And then on Sunday evening, 4 o'clock pregame, 5:30 kickoff. The Bills hosting the Chiefs on your home for the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs, Z96.3 The Lake. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everyone.